Okay, we'll continue on with our lesson that we started about two or three Sundays ago. Okay, and that's on the book of Psalms 101. If I could get you to open your Bibles, please. Psalm number 101, chapter 101, and we'll read the whole chapter. Actually, if I could ask you to stand up with me again, please, as we read the Word of God. We'll read the whole chapter of Psalm 101. Psalm 101, and we'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 to 8. Now reading verse 1, begin. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. May the Lord God bless the reading of his word this afternoon. Thank you. You may be seated. So the question I asked earlier was that, are you a Christian? And I know most of you would say, yes, I am a Christian. The next question I ask is, how well-behaved a Christian are you? Are you a well-behaved Christian? So we've looked at, I think we were in verse 2. We left off on verse 2. So we said that a well-disciplined Christian has a praiseful spirit in verse 1, right? Notice that David sings of as much of judgment as he does of mercy. Now, secondly, a well-behaved Christian or a well-behaved Christian behaves wisely in a matured way. In verse 2, it says there, I will behave myself in a perfect way. He said in a perfect way. In a perfect way means in a, mature way. People that don't just judge us by the way we talk, but by the way we walk. Now, the question is, you said you're a Christian, but do people know you're a Christian? Do people know I am a Christian? Does our speech tell people we're Christians? The way we speak, do we treat people right? How's our testimony? The verse says behave wisely. How? In a perfect way, in a matured way. We are commanded to live a holy life, a life that's set apart, a life that's pleasing unto the Lord, and a life that's free from sin. We must be careful not to become a stumbling block to our weak brother and sister as well. You see, our lives can be a blessing to others, or it could be a stumbling block to our weaker brother or sister. Our lives can either be a blessing or a curse. David resolved to behave wisely in a mature way, in a perfect way. Thirdly, a well-disciplined Christian lives consistently in the home. You see, we need to have no double standards. You see, it's one way. We live our lives one way in at home and another way outside of the home. You see, when we're at home, it's so easy to let our guards down. We can do anything we want. We can say anything we want. Why? Because no one sees us. No one from church sees what we do and hears what we say. And In our minds, it doesn't really hurt anyone. But who's hurting the most? We're hurting our loved ones, we're hurting those people that we care about, and we're hurting ourselves. You see, Christ is the head of the house, right? The unseen guest at every meal. And the poem says, a listener to every conversation. What do we talk about at home with our spouse, in front of our children? Christ is the head of the church. It's the head of the house. He's also the head of the church. David knew this, that the hardest place to live a sweet, attractive and consistent Christian life is in the home. You see, when he was at home, he fell into sin, right? You know the story. He fell into sin with Bathsheba because he stayed at home when everybody else was in war. They went to war. He should have been there himself fighting the war with his soldiers, but he didn't. And as a result, he has fallen into a grave sin, which eventually left us a scar for life. So a well-disciplined Christian lives consistently in the home. Point letter A is that we behave wisely with our spouse. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is in the Lord. Colossians 3:19. First Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the weaker, unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your, what? Prayers be not hindered. 1 Peter 3:1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that in any obey, if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. So we need to behave wisely with our spouse. So you see, the best relationship will be built with both when both know, the husband and the wife, know how to please the Lord, how to please each other. Husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge as the weaker vessel, it says there. Now, how long have you been married? Doesn't matter. The question is, how well do you know your spouse? You see, I've been married 41 years, but I'm still getting to know my spouse. I don't know her very well. We're still adjusting, right? And so we need to behave wisely with our spouse. Secondly, we need to behave wisely with our kids. Ephesians 6:4, it says there, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be what? Discouraged. So we should not be a discouragement to our children. We must become a role model to our children. You see, folks, we need to behave wisely in front of them. We should not let our guards down when we're home, right? And we can talk to about anything right in front of them. We say things about a member of the church to our spouse. Criticize the pastor. Criticize the leadership of the church, but in front of our children. Guess what? Are we being a good role model to our kids when we do that? This behavior teaches them to disrespect the pastor, dislike the church, and develop animosity towards other members. You see, there is one who clings to our words and actions more than our kids. And when we behave unwisely around them, we make a mistake that will have an impact to them for life, for as long as they live. So we need to behave wisely with our spouse. We need to behave wisely with our kids. And thirdly, we need to behave wisely with our things. You see, everything we have belongs to the Lord. We need to use them in ways to please God. A certain church member buys a boat, and it's a blessing when you know everything comes from God, right? But then that member started to forsake the church in favor of going boating on a Sunday. What's wrong with this picture? Right? Now the question is, what about your computer? What about your television? What about your cell phone? Have they become our idols? How much do we spend on social media? Watching YouTube, Facebook, what else? Twitter, right? How much do we spend on those things? We have to be careful using them. You see, gossip is prevalent and is accepted. It's so easy. Guess what? All you need to do is get the news to one person, and that news disseminates to everybody in seconds, right? If our things take us away from God, pollute our mind, and cause us to lower our standards, guess what? We need to let go. We need to let go. You would think this is an easy decision? No, sir. Everybody struggles with it. But guess what? But by grace, we can be victorious. If we only learn to dedicate our things to God, we will do well. We dedicate has the idea of setting apart and consecrating for a higher purpose. 2 Samuel 8:11, which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and gold that he had dedicated of all nations which he subdued. You see, God has easily given us these things that we enjoy. But guess what? God can easily take them away from us as well. Right? So firstly, we need to behave wisely with our spouse, with our kids, with our things. And guess what? We need to behold purity in the home. We need to behold purity in the home. 1 Timothy 5:4, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Piety has the idea of being in good, godly character. Requite means to respond or return to. We need to respond and return that good favor we get from our parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. This means that in my home, I must be careful that only those things that are pure are found there. Only the things that are pure in the decors I display. Guess what? If any naked statues or is being displayed in the form of art, idols of pagan religions, artwork with sexual innuendos, they're not supposed to be there. Right? They're not supposed to be there. In the decors we display, in the form of entertainment that we have, it shows in what we watch on TV, the shows we watch, the games we play on the computer, on 64, what we offer our guests. And thirdly, in the things we talk about, are we talking good things or bad things about other people? You see, fourthly, the well-disciplined Christian refuses to regard iniquity. In verse 3, it says there, I will set no wicked things before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Now, we cannot help seeing wicked things. But you know what? There's a great difference between deliberately seeing such things and deliberately and willingly setting them before our eyes. Right? Especially in the summertime. We go to the malls. Guess what? You'll see all those how do they term that? Scantily clad women. We see them, yeah, because we have our eyes. But it's one thing to see them, right? And deliberately seeing them, okay? You see them in front, and when they pass, you follow them, right? We need to exercise what we call bouncing eyes. Once you see something not good for the eyes, guess what? You need to bounce it off. Look the other way. You see, the devil's gateway to our soul is what? Through the eyes. It's the eyes that the devil uses to get into our soul. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You see, it is a condition to an open communication with the Lord. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, what happens? The Lord will not hear me. Okay? So, sin actually closes that communication with the Lord. In Romans 13, 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh and to fulfill the lust thereof. How necessary it is for us to make the resolve to resolve in verse 3 and apply it to every literature we read, every TV programs we watch, every place we go to, the people with whom we associate, the thoughts of our heart. Now, we need to make this a resolve. In verse 3 it says there, I will set no wicked things in mine eyes. I will listen. I will not listen to any wild music. I will not watch any bad things. Right? 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Just the appearance of evil. It's not just the doing of evil things, but just the appearance thereof. What is it? Give me an example, right? What is an example of abstaining from all appearance of evil? I think I thought I told you this before, but if you see me go to a nightclub, what would you think? That's an appearance of evil, isn't it? But in my heart, in my mind, I didn't do anything because when I got there, I asked for milk to drink. Right? You probably won't accept that, but if it's the truth, it's the truth, right? And so, guess what? Go to the corner store, and there's a rack there that with all those pornography magazines, right? You know it's there, but you still go close to it, right? Avoid the appearance of evil. Philippians 4:8, you've memorized this, right? Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think on these things, right? Think on these things. So really, we need to saturate our minds with good things. Because if not, guess what? Like the computer, whatever goes in, goes out, the same thing. Right? What? How do they term that? Garbage in, garbage out. Fifthly, the well-disciplined Christian is separate from this evil age in verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave. It shall not cleave to me. What the psalmist is actually saying is this. I will not let a worldly spirit get a hold of me. I will not let a worldly spirit get a hold of me, because it's so easy for us Christians to act like the world, to think like the world. Because why? We are influenced, we get into the middle of unchristian friends and Christian people 6 days of our lives. We're only in church, what, 1 hour or 2 hours a week if we don't come on a Wednesday night, right? 3 hours or 4 hours if you come on a Wednesday night. But the thing is, most of those times away from church is spent with other people. Not necessarily Christians, but people that we encounter every day of our lives. So it's so easy for us to act like them. Why? Because we're constantly bombarded by what we see in them do. And guess what? The need to be also, the need to be like them, to be accepted by them, is so strong that sometimes we fall into doing the same things that they do. We dress like the world, right? We speak like the world. We adopt the worldling standards. We share their pleasures. And we are friends with the world. You see, the call of God is to separation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Let's read verses 14 to 18. 6:14-18. In verse 14, it be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God, of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, in verse 17, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You see, there's a call to separation. We're supposed to separate from the world. I didn't say isolate, by the way. Isolation is completely shunning the world. But we can't shun the world totally because we live in it. But the thing is, we can separate from them. Because we say we're Christians. We need to be separate. We need to be doing the things that the world's not doing. Talking and speaking the way Christians should speak. We need to have a purpose as Daniel did in Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, not with the wine, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. We need to have that purpose in our hearts. Sixthly, the well-disciplined Christian is fully surrendered to the Lord. In verse 4, in Psalms 101, if we go back there, please. Verse 4, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Froward means a perverse or self-willed, not willing to yield. Are our wills bent on pleasing self or pleasing God? You see, there's the WIIFM, right? WIIFM, what's in it for me? Right? If it's not to my advantage, I'm not going to do it. What do I do serving God? What do I do doing the things that God is pleased when I can please my friends, right? Our way or his way, it's our choice, right? And guess what? We always have that choice. We can exercise our choice. It's a decision that we need to make. If he is not Lord of all, guess what? He's not Lord at all. I didn't say Lord of all people. I said Lord of all my being, of all that's the things that I have, right? Of all that I possess. If those are more important to me than the Lord, then he's not Lord at all, even if I call him Lord. Some of self. See, you can be in one of these three places, right? Some of self and some of thee. Less of self or more of thee, or none of self, but all of thee. Where are you? Some of you and some of God, or less of you and more of God, or none of you and all of God. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But Christ liveth in me, and the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the well-disciplined Christian is fully surrendered to the Lord. Seventh, the well-disciplined Christian cultivates friends of whom God approves. Verses 4 to 7, it says there, froward heart shall depart from me, I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. So the well-disciplined Christian cultivates friends of whom God approves. In Psalms 26:4, it says there, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. So our life and testimony for Christ can easily be made or marred according to the friends we choose. Why is that? Because the thing is, you can be influenced by your friends or influence them. Which one is the stronger? There's more of them and there's only one of you. So really, again, and there's you interact with them 6 days a week, right? And so there's more chances of you being influenced by the world. There's a saying that goes like this: tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. Right? Birds of the same flock? Birds of the same feather? Flock together. Birds of a feather, right? Okay, well, you know that, all right? I think it's in Hezekiah chapter 2, verse 1. Okay, so tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. What kind of friends do we have? What kind of friends should we choose? Well, we're not young. We're already in our right minds, right? So the question is, who are your friends? What kind of friends do you have? What kind of friends should we choose? In verse 6, it says there, mine eyes shall be opened upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. So verse 6 gives us the answer. We should entertain friends, or we should have friends that honors what? God, right? We should have friends that love the Lord Jesus Christ. We should have friends that makes much of the house of God. Friends that come to church, that go to church, right? That read the word of God, that serve God. And to summarize it all, we should have friends that fear God. That fear God. In Proverbs chapter 1, this is actually, I've talked to one of my friends before who was having a problem with his kids, because he's actually the peer, he's falling into peer pressure. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 to 19, it says there, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, and let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and hold us those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, and let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird." Right here is a guideline of who we should choose as friends, who we should have as friends, right? And lastly, the well-disciplined Christian in verse 5 has a controlled tongue. In verse 5 it says there, "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off." The psalmist tells us of his determination not to be a party to slander. Slander is making a false spoken statement that damages another person's reputation. That's slander. So we should not even be part of that. Before we pass on any report about others, we would do well to ask ourselves, is it true? Right? Is it true? And so we must not even talk about others, right? Even if it's true, is it necessary to say it? Is it necessary to help say it? Will it help to say it? Right? Here's another question. Will it harm someone? Will it glorify God? What about yourself? Am I helped by saying it? Right? Here's a question that you need to ask yourself. Even if it's true, you know some people already know about it. Is it my business anyway? Is it your business talking about it anyway? Right? "Oh, that my tongue might so possess the accent of his tenderness that every word I breathe should bless for those who mourn a word of cheer, a word of hope for those who fear, and love to all men far and near. Oh, that it might be said of me, surely thy speech bewrayeth thee as friend of the Christ of Galilee." You see, the testimony of Peter, remember when he denied the Lord? What was the lady that said, she said, "Thy speech bewrayeth thee. I know you're with Christ." Why? Because he spoke the way Christ spoke. And that's why she can say, "You've been with Christ." Right? That's the way the people should judge us. By the way we speak like Christians and not like the world. Now, what is the secret of a well-disciplined life, a Christian life? In verse 2, it says there, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way." There goes the secret. The secret of having a well-behaved life is that, a Christian life, is that I will behave myself in a mature way. You know, in his book, I Surrender, by Patrick Morley, he writes this, Church's integrity problem is in the misconception that we can add Christ to our lives but not subtract sin. It is a change in belief without the change in behavior. He goes on to say, it is revival without reformation. Revival without repentance. Let me read the first part of this. Church's integrity problem is in the misconception that we can add Christ in our lives but not subtract sin. Now the question is, are you a Christian today? Right now, are you a Christian? Do you know your Christ as your Savior? Is he your Lord? Do you know that when you die today, you're going to heaven? Do you know that you won't experience the second death, which is the spiritual death? Do you know that you will spend eternity with Jesus Christ? Amen.